sure as God made green apples, someday the Chicago Cubs are going to be in a World Series. And maybe sooner than we think.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play.
What's going on, Cubs fans? You are listening to Locked On Cubs, part of the Locked On Network, your team every day. I am your host, Sean Sears. Joining me on today's episode 152 of Locked On Cubs is Evan Altman of Cubs Insider. You guys can follow Evan at D Altman on Twitter, as well as follow Real Cubs Insiders on Twitter as well. Evan comes on the show today, talks to me a little about Bryce Harper, as there was a new development in the Bryce Harper Cubs saga, as apparently his agent Scott Boras, the infamous Scott Boras, put out a kind of talking about super weird video from the Yes Network talking about how Harper had already made his decision or something like that. So we'll talk about that in this show, kind of dive into Manny Machado and why teams maybe don't necessarily are super excited to have him or whatever it may be. And then we kind of wrap the show up talking about free agency in general and how we're kind of just excited that there's something at least somewhat Cubs related to talk about. So it's a great episode. You guys are going to have a tough time hearing me. For some reason, through Google Hangouts, you can't hear me very well, but what I'm saying is not super important. You can hear Evan crystal clear, which is perfect. So just bear with the awkwardness that is my audio dropping in and out to get through to Evan, because he has some really great, insightful things to say here on the podcast. So for some reason, my intro was all wonky or whatever, so I cut that part, so it's going to start right kind of in the middle of Evan and I talking. So without further ado, here is Evan Altman from Cubs Insiders.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always good to jump on here, and it feels a little bit weird that we're officially out of the baseball season. You know, it seemed to have come to an abrupt end, you know, for the Cubs in general, but then obviously with the World Series now over fairly quickly and pretty unceremoniously. And I was like, oh, wait, what? Right? So it's good to be talking baseball and having free agency starting, so we kind of have something to sort of obsess over for the next few months.
Yeah, obsess is definitely right. The Cubs apparently are interested in Bryce Harper, Cubs fan will tell you, or Manny Machado. I know you wrote an article today, we'll get into it here in a sec, about Bryce Harper, about an interesting, what were you, talking to the Yes Network or something, and decided on where he was going. Apparently it was a joke. We'll get into that segment. Also, to kind of talk about Harper, Machado, some free agents that are out there, and then the Cubs officially have six free agents. We'll take a look and see who we think is coming back. But you wrote the story here, Evan. Scott Boras dropped this just most random tweet ever, I guess, whatever, kind of talking this interview about Harper apparently already deciding on where he's going. It was apparently a joke. Who knows what's going on? What was the role that I guess shenanigans that happened this morning?
Yeah, it was really kind of odd, right? Because he was talking with Michael Kay, of Yes Network, which is, you know, again, the Y in Yes stands for Yankees. And so, you know, that's weird enough as it is, but the strange thing, right, from a few different levels, and it is really funny, because then all these people are like, oh, how can you even say tampering? Because, you know, I kind of threw that out, but it's, you know, and he said something like, Bryce knows where he wants to go. It's done and completed. Bryce knowing where he wants to go is one thing, and that's fine, and I get that context. But I don't care if you're joking. To say something is done and completed infers that there has been something more than one person. And you know, so I'm like, completed? That's not normally what you say. I don't normally say, you know, I have completed my decision for what I'm going to have for dinner. No, you say I know what I want for dinner. I would say I completed the meal, which indicates again that there was something, there was some preparation. So it was just so odd because, again, with free agency having not even started, right? The World Series wasn't even over. Nobody can negotiate with him. Right. Other than that. So if he's, and you know, I get it. If Harper wants to go to Chicago, if he wants to go to Philly, if he wants to go wherever, that's cool. But I would imagine that he would want to talk with someone if he's going to leave Washington. I would imagine there's going to be, you know, again, unless it's an Andre Dawson situation and he's just going like, you know what, I know any of the teams I'm going to go to are going to pay me a bunch of money. But again, right. What if it's like the report today that said the Yankees aren't going to pursue him? What if that's legit? So these, I want to go to the Yankees, and the Yankees are like, oh, no, sorry, bud. Well, now what? It's so weird. Even as a joke, it's just a really, really strange move by Boris.
Yeah. You know, we talked about Brad on Ryan, and of course, Jared Willis, we kind of talked about that Bruce Levine article and report saying, like, basically – Harper to the Cubs is essentially imminent. And it's kind of weird to hear that and then hear Boris, but Ryan brought up a point where it was kind of like maybe Boris is trying to build up his, I don't know, hoopla as you can, I guess, for Harper. I mean, I guess, you know, any publicity is good publicity. If there's an idea that, you know, Harper's already maybe made his decisions to go at it, but like, you like, how could you have made your decision when you're potentially going to have a record-breaking deal and like teams haven't even been able to like, you. It's just such a weird shit.
Yeah, and the other thing that's strange about it, right? And this is what, and again, people, you know, would say, well, how can it be tampering? I'm like, well, here's the deal: whether anybody tampered or not, you have to know that if he signs with anyone other than Washington, and Boris saying it's done and it'll be done quickly, if that is indeed the fact, and you know, teams can, they can, you know, only. Players can't sign for another 5 days, but people can start talking now, the free agents. But if Harper on Saturday was to sign with Chicago or Philly or New York or anybody, immediately the Nationals are going to come in. Immediately Rob Manfred's office is coming to town because the guy already said a decision was made. And then all of a sudden he signed somewhere else. Like, so you know there was something going on there. You know, and again, you would remove all leverage if in fact there hasn't been a decision. If he say, oh well, you know, he wants to play for the Cubs, and so what impetus is there then for Theo Epstein to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna throw you $400 million? No, wait, you want to come play here? You already said that. Absent any negotiations, or even the other side of that is, if you know how Scott Boris works, he controls the negotiations. He doesn't like just kind of sit back and handle the legalese on the contracts in the back end. He doesn't. We saw this with Jake Arrieta. We've seen it with others. He controls the narrative in this. So it's not as, and you know, he works at the behest of the players, but it's not like one of these deals where he's like, hey Bryce, go talk to Chris Bryant and have him relay something to Theo and then, you know, tell me later. No, I mean, he's controlling this. So it's just, and again, it's baffling to me. Even as a joke, he's too smart a guy. Like, you're opening yourself up to so much, but who knows, you know? And maybe that's it. It'll be, but as somebody pointed out, if it really was an extension with the Nationals and he had agreed to that, well, why would they drag that out? Like, the Nats would want to shout that from the rooftops. I mean, immediately 9 a.m. hits this morning when free agency opens, the Nats are going to put that out there. If that was indeed the case, so it does again lend itself to being a really odd joke that I think had everybody up in arms. And I think whatever he chooses, if it's not Washington, we will hear more about it from the other teams. Whoever it is who is in on him, we'll hear from them. There will be an investigation at this point, just because that's what MLB does.
Right. I mean, you have comments like that coming out. Of course, it was reported later on, just a couple hours after that video came out, from Ains, who's a I think the Washington Post writer for the Nationals, kind of saying Boris was kidding. He should, you know, look beyond the headlines or something like that. It just like, it's so weird. Just a weird thing. And like, even if he's trying to like, I guess, coerce like some type of, I guess, demand for Bryce Harper, like Bryce Harper was already the most attractive free agent on the market. Like, every team's going to at least try. We're going to stop right there to take one quick break here as we go into our second segment for pause for the ad read. But as we go into the second segment, Evan is talking about Manny Machado and the Yankees kind of being so-so and actually might not even going after Machado. We kind of talk about why that might happen and how for real that is. So stick around here for more Locked On Cubs.
You know, it's interesting, and I think, you know, it from what, and I think it was Andy Martino from SNY that was saying, you know, that the Yankees basically had their week of pro scouting meetings that came out of that saying, hey, we don't need Harper, we're too set at outfield and DH, and you know, clearly they know they're gonna have to pay, they're already paying some big money, although they pretty much got a steal with Giancarlo Stanton with the way his contract actually figures out, even though it's pretty massive. But whether that's legitimate or not, although the whole thing on Machado and what really struck me as odd about that is that the report about that said, well, you know, they're lukewarm on him because of his postseason antics. I'm like, this guy played for how many years? 5.5 years in Baltimore in your division. You've seen him for 5.5 years up close and personal. And now, you know, 6 years, whatever it is, and now after seeing him slide into second funny and, you know, step on a couple guys at first base, we didn't right. know who this guy was. You know, I that to me felt more like kind of slow playing things and not showing their hand. But again, you know, if there was a reason for them not to pursue him, it's because they have a lot of young guys at second and short and third. And again, if they said they're set at DH, you know, there's really not much room for them unless they are to part with some guys, which they certainly could, you know, and you've got Gregorius is going to be out for an extended period of time, and maybe they need to move some guys, who knows. But the way they presented that and the way it feels like the whole narrative of Machado is not hustling and being a dirty player, like, this isn't some young kid who came out of nowhere and all of a sudden, you know, we're not talking about Acuna, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. coming out here and doing something crazy on a national stage. Everybody's like, oh, whoa, this he's showing his true colors. Like, this guy's right. a seasoned veteran. So I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Yankees did not go after either of them just because of all that young talent they do have, along with, you know, a mix of some mashers that they picked up there. You know, again, I think Philly is really the one to watch for one or both of those guys, but again, you can never count the Yankees out of a big pursuit like that, though. Right. And that's the thing. Like, I don't think they can let themselves, you know, the Steinbrenner, like, there's an ego thing there that even if they don't land them, they got to at least be in the market.
Right. Exactly. Like, you can't tell me the Yankees won't at least listen or at least try. It just doesn't make any sense too, that like so many teams are getting pushed back or maybe thinking twice by adding a guy like Machado. Like, I've seen people say things like he's a clubhouse cancer or things like that, not a winning player. It's like, well, he played for Baltimore. Like, I mean, what do you like? Honestly, they were probably most competitive they've been in a really long time with Machado because of Machado. Like, it's just a lot of these narratives that just don't exist that people like to throw out there sometimes. For what it's worth, like you said, the Phillies are currently even for their odds to sign Bryce Harper. Cubs at plus 300, right underneath them is the Nationals, and then a bunch of slew of teams at like plus 800 or more. So Philly's kind of slipping in here. They're a team that I feel like even last year people were talking about in free agency, the hot sauce. They landed Jake Arrieta. They had a pretty good team this year that just kind of didn't have all the parts to be successful. They should be a contending team in the NL East next year. So, and they've got the parts that sliding a guy like Harvey, them instant NL contenders for sure. So that's interesting. Kind of looking back at the Cubs roster, I mentioned Cubs have six guys currently going into free agency. Bobby Wilson, the catcher they picked up, Jesse Chavez, Jorge Delgado Garcia, and Justin Wilson round out those six guys. Of those six guys, Evan, like, who's a guy that for sure should be back with the Cubs?
If you look at what he said there at the end of the season, you know, Jesse Chavez basically, you know, again, pointed at his shirt and was like, if I'm not wearing this uniform, I'm not wearing any uniform, you know? So it's like Cubs are retire, but it's one thing to say that in the wake of the loss and you're emotional. It's another thing entirely. Right. If some other team all of a sudden is like, man, you pitched really well down the stretch. We want to give you 3 years. And the Cubs are there with a 1 year offer. You know, do you pass that up? But I think, you know, again, it seems like one of those things that fit really well for both the team and player. Same thing with right. Cole Hamels. You know, again, I think they basically have, I mean, they got to what, Wednesday, I think, is the date to pick it up. I think they have to pick up that option.
That's correct.
You know, it'd be silly not to. You know, some people, De La Rosa is one of those where, again, I think he did really well for them, but he feels to me sort of like he really fits into that Brian Dunsing category where, you know, hey, cross your, you know, again, you kept your fingers crossed that this guy did as well as he did for as long as he did.
Sure.
If I'm the Cubs, I'm not putting money on that to happen again, personally.
No. You know,
like, I was shocked the guy was getting high leverage innings as late into the season as he was. You know, I was like,
right.
Like, okay. You know, like, and we saw that with Dunsing again, where he came out of nowhere, kind of just not, you know, I mean, he'd been around, but never as good as what he had been with the Cubs there. And then it kind of bit him on the back end when he returned to being Brian Dunsing again. You know, the other one, I think, again, we said Bobby Wilson, you know, I mean, is he even a dude? I forgot that he was even there.
I didn't either.
I was like, oh, Wilson. Yeah, Justin. Oh, no, Bobby. Yeah, Bobby. Yeah, like that's the most. Bobby Wilson is the most like random generic name that who's, you know, again, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, to be honest. I don't think he's back.
No. Surprised. I think there's plenty more options the Cubs could look at for backup catcher. Justin Wilson's kind of interesting guy. He pulled it together. I know you had a tweet, I think, today where you're talking about like, well, Justin Wilson had a pretty bad 2017 for the second half when he first got acquired, but he had a pretty solid 2018. Like, I don't necessarily want him closing games, but as a lefty reliever that maybe if he doesn't, an arm and a leg type player, could be a good piece to add back to this bullpen.
Yeah, and what was really kind of strange, I was looking at, was it the, I think it was MLB Daily Dish, was it that? And I wanted to, you know, they kind of had their guys broken up, you know, between starting pitchers, relievers, whatever, by, you know, like big money, sure, affordable contributors, and then rehab prospects. And what's really odd is they have Justin Wilson among the big money relief pitchers. So against, you know, and granted, it's kind of a thin market, you know, it's not about, but I mean, you're talking Craig Kimbrell, Joe Kelly, Yuris Familia, Zach Britton, Adam Ottavino, David Robertson. Like, Justin Wilson's not on par with those guys at this point.
No.
Justin Wilson, honestly, 2 years ago would have been.
Yeah, he's a good reliever, but I would not put him in the race, especially with, like, all those guys you named are people using it. Mr. Wilson. So, I mean, as a guy, really, reliever that you use in moments and could be like a fill-in closer for a game or more than that, doesn't seem, you
know. Yeah, and I mean, with as public, and that's the good bad thing about, mm-hmm, you know, if you're with a team like the Cubs, right, like you can't really hide as well with the Cubs, Yankees, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of them, but if you're a prime time contending team, even if you, you know, and again, he did improve by all measures, but if you're not out there, or if you are out there kind of imploding from time to time, you walk too many guys, people are talking about your stats. And again, when there's national coverage, you know, they're setting up some of these narratives, you have less of an opportunity. Whereas, you know, again, a guy like Adam Ottavino maybe doesn't look as good to the casual observer who doesn't follow that too much, but a lot of people are going to look at what he did. And it's kind of the Chatwood thing where you're like, they're going to look at a lot of these peripherals, and he had really, really good regular, you know, again, standard numbers as well. But you look at like, oh, this guy did really well in Colorado. Think about what he could do for us. And then that, you know, that myth kind of balloons, and sometimes it works out. Right. And so I'm not saying it's the same thing as Chatwood, that it'll turn out the same, but there is more of a mystique about guys like that who maybe don't get the national coverage and who are coming from a hitter friendly type of an environment. And so, you know, that kind of plays into things, I think, as well.
Yeah. Of course, we're talking to Evan Altman. He's from at Real Cub Insider, one of the better Cubs blogs out there. And then you can follow Evan at D Evan Altman, of course. Kind of talking here, I got into like a weird Twitter about Jason Hayward, and it sounded like it was the Cubs' prospect, and then the cat on Twitter, Charles Meow, were talking about Jason Hayward. They thought maybe you could actually trade a guy like him. I mean, he had a bounce back season 2018, but still owed, I think, $113 million. Gold Glove defender now, but who knows what that'll be in 3-4 years. Is this a guy that you feel like the Cubs could actually like move? Is he a Cub for life, essentially?
You know, it's a weird, so like this season, right? So at least as of whenever he picks up, because he's got an opt out, which I don't think anybody out there expects him to opt out. That would be kind of insane at this point. And that was kind of the hope when he signed, was that like, oh wow, this is really cool. Cause it was the kind of multi opt out thing was like really in vogue at the time. And I think it still is, but that's really, yeah. He was one of them that the Cubs kind of did that thinking, okay, well, if he performs like he has been, then, you know, it's a great deal for them. And if not, he leaves and whatever. But anyway, as soon as he exercises that, he loses his full no trade clause. So he does actually have a partial no trade. And because he's only been with the team for 3 years, he's not in his 10-5 rights yet. So there's two seasons. The Cubs, once he opts in, his full no trade goes to partial, and he's got 2 years before he will gain his 10-5 rights, which for the listeners not familiar, it's 10 years in the majors, 5 years with the same team, which grants you full no trade veto power. So the Cubs would have two seasons where they could trade him to a limited number of teams. Now, you have to think, okay, well, would those teams take it? Would they be? I know there's been speculation in the past about the Giants because, you know, they've got that big hard right field to play. You know, maybe they could handle that. There's speculation. Some people said there were rumors about it. It was more speculation on whether the Braves would be able to take him back or would want to take him back. So there was never any real talk behind that. But again, if you look at kind of the situation that they're in, which is similar to what the Cubs were in when they got Hayward, which is bringing on a Gold Glove defender, you know, and in that case, maybe he can return to some of that form. You kind of get that solidifying force, which really, again, the Cubs got him to do exactly what he's done. They wanted him to be much better, but he filled in a lot of the gaps that they had at the time. I think it's really unlikely that they would get anybody to bite on that. Absent, let's say it's a situation where they signed Harper and they would need to move at least two outfielders out of that mix because you can't have the same situation with like 5-6 guys fighting for spots. So, you know, do they package him with another, be it Albert Almora or Ian Happ or Kyle Schwarber and maybe a prospect or something like that to sweeten the deal and you eat some of the contract? I mean, it would be kind of I think it'd be kind of an awkward, kind of a clunky sort of thing that they have to do. But in order to do it, again, I think they'd have to eat a lot of the money and they would have to ship someone with him, at which point, well, was it really worth doing if you're still paying for a bunch of it and you're missing some of those, you know, intangibles that he brings to the table and you're probably having to lose other players along with it. I don't know. I don't see it happening.
That's kind of what my thought was too. I just don't see a situation where the Cubs come on top like Hayward because no one's going to just take his money out, right? A team to eat like a third of the money, it's still not worth it. And you think about who Jason Hayward is, while he doesn't perform necessarily consistently on the offensive side of the field on, you know, any type of consistent basis, really, Hiram is huge. Like he's a leadership team. He's a big piece of just who the Cubs are identity wise. To move someone like him, it's tough. Don't see how you come out on top of losing a guy like Hayward. I mean, unless you're really getting a good piece back or they're eating a large chunk of who does that? Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense. So I'm not upset about it. I like the guy. I think he adds plenty on defense. Offensively, you'd love to see more, but what he brought this year, I could live with.
Yeah, and I mean, you almost kind of wonder, okay, is there in all likelihood, and again, I'm not saying this should happen or will happen, but I would think it'd be more likely that Happ and Almora would both be gone, or Happ and Schwarber or Almora, Schwarber, something like that, and you move Hayward into center, and you have Zobrist or Chris Bryant or anybody, whoever you want, put somebody out left and say you sign Bryce Harper and he plays right. I mean, just as we throw things out there, if you got to make room for somebody, again, well, hey, if you're already going to kind of plan on having, you know, center field, you can live with a lighter bat than you can right. really at the corners in most cases. And so, you know, you slide Hayward over there and then you make whoever's left, right, whether it's Happ or Almora or somebody, you kind of make them the fourth outfielder, because I just, given everything Theo Epstein has said and all the talk about, it's got to be about performance and not potential, you know, kind of having, I think we've seen that it's difficult to develop guys. That's obvious. It's difficult, period, to develop young players. It's more so when all of them are sort of in these platoon situations and they're not getting regular playing mm-hmm. time. But that's a necessity of having the Cubs really have almost too much talent. And at some point you've got to part with some of those guys because that probably gives them the best chance to succeed somewhere. And it gives the Cubs the opportunity. You actually have to have a bench of guys who know their bench players. And that's my thought. I mean, Tommy La Stella, great pinch hitter. Don't want to see him out in the field every day by any stretch imaginable. And those guys are good to have. That's fine. And that mm-hmm. allows your starters to be starters. As much as we praise Joe Maddon for being able to balance all that, I think some of it's sort of artificial, and it would actually be a lot better to an extent for some of these guys to not have to balance all that as much. So anyway, that's kind of me going off on my little rabbit trail, but I think it's long story short, I think it is more likely that we would see Hayward moved over to center to accommodate someone new in right than we see Hayward traded to accommodate someone in right. That's my thought on it.
Yeah, I would agree. I thought you brought up an interesting point. I read an interesting article. It was right after the Astros got bounced from the ALDS. They're kind of talking about how the Astros have young players on their team that they've like incorporated in certain ways, but they still have veterans or real role players playing in the majority of those times. We see development getting stagnated a little bit, but they had more success with that. The Cubs have too many guys where they really either need to be playing every day or, like you said, move for other pieces or whatever it may be. Because when you have so many guys, like Ian Happ shouldn't be a bench player. Like, he should probably be a starter on most baseball teams. Like, same that can be said for Schwarber, Elmore, pretty much any of those outfielders. Same with some of the infielders too. They deserve a shot. And, you know, sitting there in the Cubs as a bench player isn't going to utilize anything. And it probably playing or that guy in the bench. Just, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, I guess, situation. But if the Cubs have a huge culmination of talent, like the Cubs got to get something out of that. It's all about production now. Maybe get those trades, those guys, and get something back. Who knows?
All right, we'll pause right there for another last break here for Locked On Cubs. Going into this third and final segment, I'm asking Evan two questions. First, about Clayton Kershaw and his chances of opting out and what that means for the Cubs, if there is any chances. And then the second question, I ask him, what is one free agent that he feels like the Cubs should go after that people aren't necessarily talking about? We got more Locked On Cubs for you as we pause for our last and final break.
But is Clayton Kershaw apparently has 3 days out of his contract. Is there any chance this guy leaves and comes to Chicago?
It'd be awesome to see that. But I think this is a situation where he's due like $70 million-ish over 2 years if he opts in, which is just like crazy money, right? $35 million average annual value. I mean, that's what you're talking. That's Harper money, right? That's right. For a 26-year-old getting a contract, right? This is, you know, a guy who's been around, who's clearly, you know, he's a different pitcher. Right. Obviously, still very effective, but you know, I think this is one of those where both, you know, this is my understanding. I certainly don't know Kershaw personally. I'd like to. He seems like a pretty cool guy, but. He and the Dodgers both, I think, understand this idea of legacy. And when you look at a team like the Dodgers who have such a legacy themselves with some of these pitchers, whether you're talking, you know, Koufax and Drysdale and Hershiser and Valenzuela even, right? Like a lot of these guys, like they've kind of always had this marquee pitcher, and Kershaw has been the face of that franchise now for, you know, essentially almost since the time that he came up. And while I think he will opt out. My guess is that he does that. And here's where everybody wins. He opts out. The Dodgers all of a sudden greatly decrease their salary cap hit because he's not going to sign a deal for $35 million AAV, right? That's going to come down a little bit. And he'll sign something for longer. You know, and maybe it's like 5 years and $100 million, right? Which is not insane by any stretch. It pays him less money average, more money on the whole. It spreads it out and it allows him to maintain his legacy where he's built up. You know, he's not an LA guy originally. But I know he's big in that community. I know the Dodgers want to keep him around. That it doesn't seem like, it feels like one of these things that's inevitable, almost like when you see like an NFL type deal, when you see a quarterback restructure his deal so that the team can sign more guys. That's what this feels like to me, that Kershaw and the Dodgers get something done that benefits both. And then he's back with them in pretty short order. And I would almost guess that that's kind of been the talk all along. Although I don't know, a lot of people are like, oh, he could opt out and then they'll just let him walk and somebody else will throw him a ton of money. But I mean, would they, I cannot imagine them letting Clayton Kershaw get away. And you know, somebody else is going to throw like $200 million at him. That seems really, really odd.
He just seems like I can't see him pitching. I think he from LA, and you got to think from the Dodgers, Kershaw, like, what do you, you know, you've got these young core guys, but who's your best starter now? Like Rich Hill, like, I guess Walker, still, you know, he had Tommy John surgery. You don't know how he's going to be long-term wise. Clayton Kershaw is 100% the franchise face. The you lose a guy like him, it's pretty detrimental to what you're doing culture-wise. I'm there with you. And then final question, everyone here that's jumped on the show recently, like, who's one free agent, not like a Harper or Machado guy, you think the Cubs should go after? Like, a guy that maybe no one's talking about a lot right now.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, I know a lot of people, so it's not really one that people haven't been talking about. You know, they've been mentioning, I know Marwin Gonzalez has been thrown out there quite a bit. We brought up Adam Ottavino. I would love to see them go after, you know, a guy like that who again, kind of that stud, you know, sort of back end guy who again, if we're talking performance over potential, you know, how long have we been kind of waiting on Carl Edwards Jr. to really assume that sort of, you know, he's been sort of the closer in waiting throughout his entire career and he's continuing to wait. Love something like that. And then, you know, what was a really interesting topic for the life of me, it's escaping me. And Mike Petriello, MLB.com, just wrote something today, and I kind of wrote something based on that because Kyle Schwarber was mentioned. But when you look at, you know, the production value from trades, production, war production from trades far outstripped anything from drafts or from free agent signings. And I know the name that's been going around a lot is Whit Merrifield from Kansas City. And I know, so again, we're not talking about a free agent signing, but here's a guy, a young guy, 4 years of control left, speedster, good on base, plays second base and outfield. So you're like, wow, that's the kind of, you know, it's like, if Daniel Murphy had legs that worked and could get on base at a decent clip, like that's who this guy might be. He doesn't hit like Murphy, but he gets on base better and he's faster and he can play all over. Like that's a Cubs kind of a guy. So to me, if you do go big time in free agency and you do land a Harper or something like that, well, all of a sudden you've got a few spots that need to be cleared out. You got some capital to work with at that point. Maybe you can find a way to swing a deal with Kansas City because Merrifield's going to return a lot because he is a high value piece. He's got a ton of club control left, but maybe you can get some more controllable pieces, move him out there anyway. So that's kind of a thought, but that's sort of like that seems like a really good fit for a team that could really use a little bit more speed, maintain some versatility if you lose that in the form of some other trades. So maybe something to think about.
Yeah. A lot. Much. He would fit Cubs. Just clubhouse as well as on the field, and you know who knows what happens. Addison Russell, I, for what it's worth, probably come back as a Cub, but who knows? He at least gives you some insurance. He can play the infield spot. Let's have him be a shortstop. Maybe David Bodie's your backup, and at least, you know, you don't have to worry about legitimately starting David Bodie or something. I like it, man. I think that's cool. Well, Evan, it's always nice to have you on. I know you're Ryan. It's nice you're coming on, helping out with me here. Any other parting shots yet before I let you go?
No, just I said this is really the exciting part, I think, for Cubs fans. This is going to be a really, I think it's going to be big. You know, everybody's had their heart set on Harper, and whether or not that happens, I think we are going to see this team, you know, certainly not completely remade, but I think we're going to see a bigger overhaul this winter than we have the last few because of the things that Theo Epstein had said and the things that they need to fix, because I don't care how many games they won. You know, what matters, what they're trying to fix is not the 95 games they won. It's the zero games they won in the postseason. And that's just not acceptable for this team at that point. And so they're going to have to make some changes moving forward, unless, you know, again, maybe they just sit back and just say, hey, you know what, everybody's going to regress back to the mean and everybody's going to be better next year. But I doubt it. So, again, I think we are in for a really wild winter, and it's going to be fun.
I think so. We talked about it last couple off seasons where we thought maybe the Cubs might make this the one. If you want to catch more of Evan's opinions, head on over to CubsInsider.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RealCubsInsider. You can follow Evan at DEvanAltman on Twitter. Joe, man, you guys have a good one. Hopefully everything off-season covered. Hopefully best of luck. Thanks again for being on.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here. And best of luck with the pod and everything else. And again, enjoy the winter. It's going to be a good one.